My name is Larissa Granko, and I am based out of the Western Applied Research Corporation. It's a not-for-profit applied research organization based out of an Ag Canada research farm at Scott, Saskatchewan. So I have a list of our collaborators there, and a lot of people have been a part of the project along the way. So today what we're going to look at is the impact or the interaction of various inputs and their effect on the yield of field peas. And I know you've probably seen this picture before, and Bill had it up there, but I just wanted to put in perspective, you know, where our sites are located. So we have a pretty good representation of the different soil and climatic zones of our province. Saskatchewan accounts for about two-thirds of all the field peas grown in Western Canada. And as you can see, I've kind of split the sites in between high-yielding and low-yielding sites just because they seem to behave, the high-yielding sites had a behave similarly and the low-yielding sites behave similarly. So just to talk about the growing season for a moment, our peas are generally seeded in early to mid-May and harvested in August, so we're dealing with a very short growing season. But what you'll notice is that in Saskatchewan, we've actually been dealing with a number of years with higher than normal precipitation, which has resulted in higher soil moisture levels. And in the past number of years, a lot of farmers and a couple of our research sites, Indian Head in particular, have been dealing with root rots. It's a bit of a new problem for growers. Aphanomycetes is the root rot that are concerning growers. And it really sets in about July, once that seed treatment has worn off. And so we did have to discard one site because of root rots from Melfort. But the, like I said, the Indian Head site was affected, I think, in 2013 and 14. So keep that in mind. Our Swift Current site is generally a little bit warmer. And peas do prefer a cooler climate. So that's why it is in the low-yielding sites. And Milford and Scott were considered the high-yielding sites. So I'll take a little bit of time here to explain the treatment structure because it is a little bit complex. We had five inputs that we looked at. And a lot of studies, you know, we looked at the response of one or maybe an interaction between the two, but there really wasn't a comprehensive study that looked at the impact of adding all of these inputs together. So our treatments began with the MT input package, which is the bare bones, what you need to grow your field pea crop. So we have a low seeding rate, and that's too low, I guess, to achieve a recommended plant population. And we also have a liquid inoculant. So that's what you would need, I guess, you know, a very low input system. At the other end of the spectrum, we have our full input package, which has five additional inputs. So we have a high seeding rate. 120 seeds would be what you would need to probably reach a recommended plant population. For seed treatment, we used a Syngenta product, Apron Max RTA, which has fungicidal seed treatments. The inoculant type in the full input package had a granular inoculant instead of the liquid inoculant. And that granular inoculant is just generally considered to be more robust than a liquid inoculant, even though it is a little bit more expensive. Under moist conditions or cool conditions, that granular inoculant is generally will perform better than a liquid. Starter nitrogen fertilizers in there as well. It's generally not a recommended practice, but some guys are experimenting with it. And the research has been kind of inconclusive. There's some situations where you can get a response to starter nitrogen, so we added it in there as well. And the foliar fungicide, generally if the farmer is seeing disease incidence in their pea crop and the disease that they're targeting is Asacata blight, they will apply likely more than one application of a systemic fungicide. So here we had Headline applied at about 10% flower, and then we followed that up with an application of Preaxor 3 weeks after that first application. So like I said, we started with the MT input package, and from there we added one, two, three, four, or all five of those inputs in various combinations. So in total we had 22 treatments, but to limit the number of treatments we had, we actually did not include the starter nitrogen fertilizer in combinations of three and four inputs. So So the objective of this study, like I said, was really to look at which inputs are contributing the most to field pea yields. And we want to do that for each individual soil and climatic zones because we do notice there's differences in responses. And also we want to look at how those inputs are interacting, which ones are producing the highest yields in those areas. And for farmers this winter, we'll also do an economic analysis as well to determine which input combination is going to be best for them. So here's just a look at, either end of the spectrum in terms of inputs. You can see that in the full input package treatments, even at the beginning of the season, we have higher biomass. And the extra plants and the increased biomass generally increased disease ratings. But foliar fungicides were fairly effective in controlling our diseases in crop. So first we'll just take a broad look. I analyzed the low yielding and high yielding sites separately. And I just used contrast to look at the effect of adding a particular input averaged over all the treatments with that input compared to all the treatments without that input. So first when we look at our seeding rate, whether it's in a high yielding or low yielding site, adding a higher seeding rate will significantly improve your seed yields. Now at our high yielding sites, we also got a significant response to adding a granular inoculant and a foliar fungicide. Seed treatment and starter nitrogen fertilizer did not overall improve seed yields at either the high or the low yielding sites. But we'll notice it depends what input combination you're adding that input into, and we'll look at that in a moment. But this is just kind of a broad look at how the sites are responding to these inputs. So I also wanted to see if the inputs were behaving in an additive or a synergistic fashion. And what we did here is we looked at all the treatments that had two or more inputs in the combination, and we looked at the observed versus the expected yield compared to what we would have in the MT input package. And the blue dots there are the high yielding sites, and you can see that they pretty much follow that one-to-one line. So that's telling us that our inputs are acting in an additive fashion at our high yielding sites. But at our low yielding sites, the expected means are much higher than are observed. So they're not behaving in an additive fashion. But I wouldn't want to call it an antagonistic interaction. I think, as we'll see later, there's one input in particular that is really driving the yield potential, and none of those other inputs are necessarily adding up to adding any yield. So this is a bit of a busy graph, but I just wanted to compare the high yielding and low yielding sites. And at the bottom here, we have our coefficient of variation of our grain yield means and our grain yield on our x-axis. And I split it up in between variability and yield. So for our high yielding sites, you can just kind of see a general trend. As we add more inputs, we have higher grain yields and we have lower variability. At the low yielding sites in general, we have a much higher coefficient of variation compared to our high yielding sites. And there is a bit of more scatter, what's important though, we'll kind of tease these apart in a moment. So first we'll just focus on the high yielding sites. And I do want to draw your attention to those three inputs that were significant in that first graph: our high seeding rate, our foliar fungicide, and our granular inoculant. So when we start off by adding any one of those three inputs, we get a yield increase. When we add a combination of two of the three inputs, again, we see a yield increase and we see a large decrease in the variability in seed yields. Now when we add them all three together, large yield increase and again, a decrease in the variability. What's interesting though is that adding a seed treatment or a starter nitrogen fertilizer actually does not improve yield or a variability at these high yielding sites. So those three inputs are going to be the focus of our recommendations for farmers moving on. At our low yielding sites, a little bit of a different story. High seeding rate resulted in the highest yields. And then again, adding more inputs, the full input package was kind of an anomaly, but adding more inputs didn't necessarily improve grain yield at these sites. Another interesting observation we had was at our low-yielding sites, we seem to have a large yield improvement by adding just starter nitrogen fertilizer, and we didn't actually get the yield improvement by adding granular inoculant, and not necessarily sure why this is, but maybe, you know, we did add a small amount of nitrogen, so maybe that nitrogen that was there was enough to get that, to fulfill the nitrogen requirements for that low-yielding crop, but something that we'll have to look at in a little bit more detail. So I'll just kind of quickly run through this again. This is just looking at the relative yield increase of adding that individual input to various input combinations. So here it would be added as the only input versus in different combinations. So adding a high seeding rate, you know, regardless of the input combination, we're getting a relatively high yield increase. Foliar fungicide, again, at high yielding sites, very consistent yield improvements. At low yielding sites, it's a little more variable. But what's interesting is what I found at the high yielding sites, we have a much larger yield increase when we add that foliar fungicide in combination with other inputs. So what I think is happening is that the fungicide isn't necessarily creating yield, but where we have extra inputs, it's protecting and maintaining that higher yield potential that is there. Granular inoculant, very consistent improvements at our high-yielding sites, not necessarily at our low-yielding sites, and that's something that we're going to have to tease apart again and try to figure out. Starter nitrogen fertilizer, pretty small yield increases at our high-yielding sites, but again, at our low-yielding sites, not sure, you know, why we're getting a large yield improvement when it is the only input added. So. And seed treatment, very variable in terms of when and where we're getting a response to seed treatment. And with all the root rot issues that farmers are facing in our province, most guys are probably going to be applying it regardless of, you know, whether or not they're going to get a yield improvement. So, you know, we'll have to look at that a little bit more closely to determine when and where we're getting a yield improvement. So I guess in conclusion, at our high-yielding sites, adding more inputs appears, or additional inputs do appear to be behaving in an additive fashion, and additional inputs seem to improve grain yield and yield stability, but at each additional input does appear to be less additive. At our low-yielding sites, high seeding rates were generally the only input that significantly improved yield, and so adding other inputs to the package didn't necessarily improve seed yields. And there's something going on with starter nitrogen, and we'll have to look at that a little bit more closely to determine when and where we are getting that response. So I guess for the focus for our farmers this winter is you know, we'll be targeting adequate plant populations and making sure they're using appropriate seeding rates. But I think our economic analysis as well is going to tell us the full story of you know, which inputs we're going to recommend for the different soil zones. So. I guess in conclusion, I just want to thank our funding partner, the Saskatchewan Pulse Growers, and we had a number of collaborators at Indian Head, Melfort, and at Swift Current. And I want to thank Eric Johnson in particular for assisting us with the development of the project and the statistical analysis.